Yeah, he got out while he was young. Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Normally every Thursday at around this time during the hockey season, it's a pleasure to welcome Agent Provocateur, Montreal native Alan Walsh of Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles. How you doing? Happy New Year, Alan.
Happy New Year, Mitch. How you doing, pal?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm sorry I missed you during your visit back home here during a part of the World Junior Hockey Championship. How was your holiday?
It was a wonderful holiday, great tournament, beautiful warm weather in Montreal, had the sunscreen on every day.
Yeah, what's it like right there as we speak? It's actually balmy today here in Montreal.
It's actually been raining off and on for 2 or 3 days, and everyone hates when I say that. Please don't feel sorry for us at all over here, but it's been probably one of the wettest dreary days in a long time.
Well, probably long overdue then.
Well, you know, with the drought out here, everybody seems to love the rain. I've never enjoyed it, but it is good for the environment, so what the heck.
Yeah, let's give one for the environment. How about that? The wonderful state of California. Okay, so most ears listening right now had their eyeballs watching this last night.
Radulov gets the puck off the draw. Now Pacioretty over the line, left wing, waiting, throws it to the net. Hellebuck didn't play that cleanly. Here's a chance, and they score! Dano at the side of the net on the backhand, and the Habs score first, 1-0. Well, there, Petrie at center. He'll fire that in, and Hellebuck misplayed it with a glove. Loose in front, McCarron, backhand pass. Bollier came to the slot. That was almost a disaster for Hellebuck and the Jets. Well, he's fighting it in the early going. That was just a simple dump in, and he totally misplayed it.
Yeah, he might not even make it, even if they don't score after the first period. He doesn't look sharp at all.
And even though the Jets came back and tied the Canes, who had taken a quick 2-0 lead.
And the puck comes loose. Plekanec scores! Just like that, the puck was in the corner. Plekanec read it. He comes in and fires it home.
And he barely moved on that, so it was another rough night for Hellebuck, who was yanked, as Sergio predicted. Hutchinson came in. He gave up a few goals. And I immediately thought of you, Alan, because, you know, I'm one of the guys who thought that Andre Pavlik was a pretty good-looking goalie when he emerged in the National Hockey League. He had a great year a couple years ago for Winnipeg. Then the analytics community seemed to attack him nonstop. He's in Winnipeg, but he's playing for the American Hockey League, and I know there's some bias involved here. He's your client, but you know that has nothing to do with it. After watching the Jets struggle all year, I have to ask, and what you can tell me, that even if you don't believe Andre Pavlik is a great NHL goalie, he is an NHL goalie, something they haven't received in that position this year. Can you explain why he is still in the American Hockey League?
Yeah, I want to be very careful that I'm not in any way criticizing the current goaltending in Winnipeg. I think Hellebuck is a great young goalie in the league, and is on really at the starting line of a tremendous career. Hutchinson is also an Octagon client and also a very good, capable goalie in the NHL. Why is he still in the American League? There's a number of players out there in this situation right now where literally making too much money. And Pavlik this year is making $4.75 million. Teams make their goaltending decisions. Either goalies are on long-term deals, or in the summer, they've made their goaltending decisions. So absent a injury to a number one goalie that's going to take him out for almost the whole year, and the team also having the available cap space, it becomes this catch-22 of he's an NHL goalie, but who has, you know, $3.9 million of cap space and $4.75 million cash to pay him? Now, as the season goes by, and we've just crossed the midway mark of the year, Andre's cap charge against an acquiring team or even to Winnipeg goes down. The cash is at now around 46% of what it was at the beginning of the year. It's my belief that at some point before the trade deadline, we're going to see one of two things. Andre's going to be back in the NHL with Winnipeg, or he's going to be traded somewhere. Now, from our perspective, you know, Andre's never asked to be moved. And the one thing that I really admire about Pav is if you talk to all the people that he interacts with on a daily basis down in Manitoba in the American League, he's been a model citizen. He's worked hard. He's eager to play. The coaches down there, one of them, Pascal Vincent, from Quebec,
sure,
who
yeah.
spent lots of time in the Quebec Junior League, and is a great coach, great young coach. Pascal has made many complimentary comments about Pav this year in the American League regarding his work ethic, his ability to come into the rink, and obviously not be satisfied with where he is at the current moment, but making the best of it and acting like a consummate pro. And that's really all you can ask at this point.
Well, and it's one thing to be in the American Hockey League when you do believe you're an NHL caliber goalie. There's always, I don't know if there is an awkwardness to the situation because he's in the same city.
Not really. You know, he's got, Andre was part of the original Atlanta Thrashers that made the move to Winnipeg. And he's got a lot of friends on that team where, you know, they have a long history together and there's deep friendships between all of them. He's never shared with me that it was awkward. I think that there's a level of frustration at not being in the NHL at this stage of his career and at his age, and the fact that it's the last year of his contract. And you know, people need to remember that in the 14-15 season, in 50 starts, Andre had a 2.28 goals against average, .920 save percentage, putting him in the top 12 in the entire league on a team that just kind of squeaked into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was only 1 year removed. But, you know, teams make decisions. It was out of his control. He only played one preseason game and had a shutout. A 32 save shutout. So, you know, he wasn't sent down because of anything that occurred in training camp. It just appears that the organization made a decision on who they were going to go with going forward. You got to respect it. The Winnipeg as an organization and everybody involved has always been very good to Andre on a personal basis. There's never been any tension or conflict at all in any way. They've been very good to him. So you make the best of a really bad situation, and history shows, like in the case of Devan Dubnyk, who went from number one goalie in Edmonton to number three goalie in the American League in the same year to backup goalie in Phoenix to one of the top goaltenders in the league. And Devan had to, you know, reset and figure some things out, and look where he is right now. You know, people forget that he was part of the Canadiens organization in Hamilton. Third goalie in the American League wasn't even playing there.
Yeah.
And he had started that season as the number one goalie in Edmonton.
Yeah, it looked like a dead end. It looked like his career may have come to an end. With Alan Walsh, every Thursday, a little after 5:30, Pierre LeBrun will join us after 6. Now, earlier in the season, we had a conversation when Alan, in a rare moment, decided to tweet something that was controversial, suggesting that the three-goalie system on Long Island had to come to an end sooner or later. And there are a lot of people who believe that Yaroslav Halak is in the American Hockey League right now because of that tweet. You want to respond to that? And then I'll pick up on that.
Yeah, anyone who thinks that NHL teams make those kind of decisions, it's ridiculous. My tweet reflected the opinion of my two clients on the team at the time, in Net both Yarrow and JF. And if you look around the league, you know, how many teams over the last 2 years or at any time have maintained three goalies over the long term? You know, it's a choice that the Islanders made to do that. It's clearly within their rights to do that. I mean, if they want to carry four goalies, they're allowed to carry four goalies. You know, my own personal opinion is that is very difficult in a condensed schedule like we have right now, taking into account 5-day bye weeks, late start because of World Cup, all the back-to-backs. You know, people would be shocked at how little NHL teams actually practice this year. It's shocking that teams will actually go 2 and 3 days or 4 days even without a real practice. And, you know, it's a real challenge for goalies to stay sharp when it's a two-goalie system. With three goalies, you know, I don't know how a goalie, a number one goalie or even a backup, can stay sharp when you have goalies that aren't seeing much, if any, puck in practice, and you go 4 days without that, and then you're starting a big game. You know, it the results speak for themselves. And no one is making any excuses for Yarrow's performance. He had a great start of the year with the World Cup, maybe played some of the best hockey of his career in a two-goalie system there. Now, you know, he gets into the season with the Island. He had some rough nights. He struggled. The team struggled. Team's still struggling. And, you know, no one's laying blame at anyone's feet. I just have a lot of faith in Yaroslav Halak, and I believe he's going to be back in the NHL very soon. He's still young, especially in goalie years. And I think the best is still to come for him.
Well, and he is clearly an NHL caliber goaltender. And I'm just curious, when he was placed on waivers, did you have any hope at all that there would be a team that would put in a claim for him? Or is it a similar situation to Pavlik? Like, for example, the Dallas Stars. The Jim Neal is a great general manager, but he can't figure out his goaltending situation. He's got $8 million tied up in two guys who aren't good. And there are a number of teams that have designs on going deep into the playoffs that could certainly use a Yarrow Halak. Was it because, again, of the contract?
There was zero chance, and I mean zero, maybe even less than zero chance, that any goalie like Yarrow could get picked up off waivers with another year left on his contract with a $4.5 million cap hit. Zero chance. The only way Yarrow gets moved to another organization this year is via trade.
And are you confident that will happen? He's off to a good start. He's only played a couple of games, but, you know, he's clearly too good for the American Hockey League.
You know, it's impossible to say if he gets traded or not. I mean, at the end of the day, that's going to be a decision that Gar Snow and the Islanders need to make. But I got to believe, as we head towards the trade deadline, March 1, that he doesn't represent a attractive option for teams looking to bolster their goaltending going into the home stretch and a playoff run.